Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler, your host, and this week I have no introduction whatsoever because I couldn't be asked to write one. Stephen's away. It's just me and Trev, I'm afraid. Say hello, Trev.
Hello.
Right, so you're stuck with us. I'll do some usual announcements, which I've said so many times now they're burned into my brain. You can download episodes from our blog, thinkrant.blogspot.com, or you can go to iTunes, because Apple thinks that we're good enough to have our own channel on there. Also, you can tweet us at thinkrant. You can visit our Facebook page. Just search for ThinkRant Podcast. And you can email us if you want to send us some shit. It's info@thinkrant.co.uk. And that's it. That's the shortest ever.
Yeah, but now if you think that all of our podcasts sound a bit raw and unedited, that's because
they are.
Because we're too busy being on the run from all the Vatican assassins to get it done. We're not going to risk our lives. In fact, that's why Steve is in hiding this week. You'll never find him.
Do you know where he's gone to hide, though? Ireland.
Don't tell him. Don't
to hide from
great
the Catholics.
Hiding from Catholics.
He's gone to Ireland. Fantastic. Hey, maybe Steve's listening. Hey, you know why he's gone to Ireland, don't you?
Oh dear. No, I don't.
No, it's not a gag. He's gone to a wedding. He's ditched
us great.
for a party.
Yeah, that's great. That's kind of sweet.
Well, you know, what if I just decided, you know, one week, fuck it, I'm going to go to a party. You know, would you be happy with that?
Yes, because Steve and I would still Skype each other. Admittedly, we've got no idea how to do all the other technical gubbins, so we'd just be having a chat for an hour. But, you know, it'd be fun for us.
Okay.
And just think of all the comedy gold that would go unrecorded. What a nightmare that would be.
Well, I suppose you could both record it. It just wouldn't go out. You wouldn't be able to do it live. That's the only thing.
You're...
Okay, fair enough then. So, this week, I hope you got lots of stories, Trev. I got quite a bit, to be honest, because...
Oh, dear.
No.
Actually, I think that's why Steve's been good last week and the week before. He actually got quite a bit of stuff done, because he was preparing us for the week when he just buggers off and has absolutely nothing.
Exactly. So we got loads of stories sort of kept behind from the previous weeks. I'm going to start with one now.
Hang on a sec. When you choose the picture for this week's one,
all right. Okay.
Could you put a bit more thought into it than you did for last week?
What? What do you mean?
For those nice ladies and gentlemen who haven't, maybe you get it from iTunes or you're listening to it from way in the future. The picture that was on the website was a revolting spider on somebody's hand. It was hideous. Now, we did talk about revolting spiders, but a photo like that, it's a good photo. It's an effective
photo.
It's very... If you wanted a photo of a spider, you can't get a more spidery photo. But it's almost an emetic photo. It made me want to puke every time I looked at it.
Were you too scared to click on the podcast to download it?
Not quite that bad. But,
it
makes you
then?
Shiver and want to puke. And I noticed as well, it said down one of his legs, "Vote Tory." You didn't notice that, did you? Because you couldn't look at it.
I didn't
see
that.
Oh, for Christ's sake, John. You have to be more careful about stuff like that. It doesn't matter if you got that photo from the Liberal Party website. That doesn't matter. You've got to be very careful.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Okay, it probably didn't. It might actually say that, but I didn't notice because I didn't look at it. It's horrible.
Well, it was bad enough looking at it thinking, shit, that could be my hand. You know, just the thought of that thing sat on my hand was pretty horrific. So, but it was such a good picture, and it went so well with the massive spider title of the podcast.
It did. It was suitable. I'll give you that.
So, come on, what was your problem with it again? Apart from you don't like spiders. You know, cause it was a damn good picture. It went with the podcast, and it got people's attention on Facebook.
Well, you owe me a new monitor. Frankly, I checked on that page a couple of times thinking that you were going to change the photo. And every time I see a spider like that, I smack it with something.
So what, you just twatted your monitor?
Yeah, several times. It's kind of still working, it's fine.
Cool. Well, and is tonight the last night of Torchwood? I've been asking people this question. Is it the last one tonight?
There's two nights left. out of 10 hours in total, tonight is hour 9, and we still know bugger all about what's happening.
Yeah.
I think they've left it a bit, the pacing is all over the place.
Maybe it's just going to get, the next two episodes are just going to be mind-blowingly interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And also tonight at 10 o'clock is the start of, or the continuation of, Series 10 of Mock the Week.
Cool.
So, that'll be something else to watch. I'm going to launch into the first story now, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Phones for you, mobile, phone Jesus advert banned.
Brilliant.
Surely you had this as one of your stories.
No, I haven't seen it.
No, no, what happened was, Phones for You, coming up to Easter, they thought, let's do a relevant ad. So what they did was, you know, so, I got no problem with, you know, companies, they're thinking, right, Christmas, so let's stick a Santa in an advert. You know, it's playing to the mood. And obviously, it was coming up to Easter. No, they didn't just nail a guy to the cross. They had a picture of a, this is what makes me laugh, right? Apparently it's Jesus, but it looks, it's just a generic white guy with long blonde, you know, like long
yeah,
light hair and the blue eyes, wearing,
as any man born in Palestine would be.
Yeah, wearing generic, you know, Jesus-like clothing. You couldn't see the sandals because you could just see the top half of his body. And it was basically, all it said was something like miraculous deals on Android phones. And it had Jesus doing, you know, the old thumbs up.
Like Buddy Christ.
Like Buddy Christ. Okay.
Brilliant.
Now, apparently they received 110, sorry, the ASA received 110 complaints about this. Now, the ASA have taken on a lot of work recently, what with, they're now responsible for advertising on the web. So they're all very, very busy chasing after homeopaths and other freaks who've got dodgy claims on their websites. However, I didn't realise the ASA have taken up the mantle of enforcing blasphemy laws, which have been repealed.
That's a good point. They got no business. I reckon they should have gone the whole hog. And if there was some... let's see, if they had a package where you had loads of free texts, they could say, use all our free text. Even Jesus could still do that, and then show him on the cross with his phone, which obviously he can't lift to his ear. But it's alright.
But you can text. You can text in one hand and just look over to his left, and you can text, yeah.
That's right.
See? I think that your version of Jesus, I like your ad better. Because it's going to offend more people simply for that reason. A guy on the cross dying for some people's sins, apparently.
But if you text, hey, Paul, I can see your house from here.
Well, he's texting Dad, please let this cup pass from my lips. So, yeah, awesome. But yeah, what happened was 110 people complained, so they thought they'd pull it. They told... Phones for You to stop it, and Phones for You capitulated and sent, listen to this, this is the story, by the way, an individual apology to everybody who complained.
Oh, good grief. Well, so, I guess that's clever marketing bullshit, isn't it?
Well, obviously.
Because they can now say to everybody, look, we sent a personal apology because we didn't want to offend anyone.
Well, there is that. I would have, you know, but it's come to my attention that obviously the ASA, in their new remit, is looking to protect people from being offended, which, you know, if that's true, I'm offended by all Tories, actually, yeah, all Tories. So therefore, whenever I see one on telly, I'm going to write a letter to the ASA and they're going to ban Tories from the telly. What do you think of that?
Excellent. In fact, I'm offended by the fact that chocolate makes you fat. And that's the ASA's fault. No. They have to make chocolate that doesn't make you fat and yet still kills a hyper.
That would be quite cool.
Yeah, let's just expand their remit. So they're just taking shit on?
Yeah.
Dozy bastards.
So if all it takes is 110 people to get offended, there's so much shit that should be banned. It's unbelievable. But there you go.
Oh, yeah, actually, you know that the advert for being media smart or media aware, where there's the house hippos.
I haven't seen this advert. House
Oh, right.
hippos.
Yeah, they're little miniature hippos that come out in the middle of the night and drink from the dog bowl.
No.
You haven't seen those? Oh, it's
No.
like a little animated.
I mean, I do
It's
check
not
out
like a baby hippo.
adverts,
This is
but
tiny.
right.
I haven't seen it for a while. It was a couple of years ago, and it was basically saying, if you see something in an advert that looks very, very misleading, check they're not being funny. Okay? They might not be lying. They might be having a bit of a joke. So maybe they should do one of those with a little house Jesus that creeps out in the middle of the night while you're asleep and drinks from the dog bowl or whatever.
No, yeah, nice one. Okay. Have you got a story for me?
Sure. In fact, it's not just me that's got a story. My son found this one for me.
Oh,
He listened to a couple of Think Rants.
you're just shipping out all the work now, are you, to young, children in a sweatshop.
I got a sweatshop here, and it's brilliant. The child tears don't get through this keyboard, so I make him work long hours. No, he just went through the net and found a couple of things that he thought I might like to rant about, and he did find a couple. And this one's basically the story that Cameron will allow TV cameras inside courts. Well, apparently. I'm not
Apparently.
sure exactly where this one. I think it was from Sky News website,
Okay.
and they're banging on about their campaign to televise court cases. Have you watched Sky News at all,
I
where
try and
they've said
avoid
this
it. I
stuff?
get most of my news from the BBC because it's more impartial, although I'm sure
Yeah.
some Tory MP would disagree with me on that one.
Yeah.
But carry on.
But they'd say they'd mention a story that is barely a story, and if a court is involved at all, they'd say, and of course, Sky News is currently campaigning to allow television cameras into the court. And it seems so horrifically wrong. It pisses me off so much. Sky News is supposed to be reporting news, not advocating change. And I don't care if I agree with their position. Like if the Daily Mail were pushing for human rights or the Sun for better literacy levels, it isn't their place. That's not what they're supposed to do. And as for this cause itself, I think it's a terrible idea. I actually, what have they got here? There was a Conservative MP who said, I find it quite difficult to think of any arguments against doing it. It seems to me fairly evident we want to encourage people to respect the law more, and this has to be the right thing to do. But Baroness Helena Kennedy warned that such a move undermines justice, and that the only cases given real coverage would end up being salacious ones. And I don't know if anybody wanted to say this on the telly, but we can already see judges talking absolute bullshit in an apparent attempt to get newspaper coverage to better pitch their memoirs to a publisher, presumably. Now, how likely do you think it is that judges won't whore themselves for the telly? They're still people. They've got to stay impartial. They've got to stay like ultimately impartial. They are the judges of the land, for God's sake. I just think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand both sides of the argument for it. Some people would call it, they try and paint it as transparency. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because there's already transparency because you can go to court and you can be there. I'd be completely against closed courts,
Yeah.
but I'm not for putting cat TV cameras in a court because because of what you alluded to, the salacious stories would be the only ones of value, and you're going to pose problems for any impartiality in the media and things like that.
Well, plus there's a cause that I'm fairly sure you're going to agree with me on, where any bloke implicated in a sex scandal is immediately named in the media in this country. And very often that they'll be found innocent, but that story's just dropped. They don't come out and say, hey, this guy that we maligned in the papers and on telly, turns out he was innocent. Oops, sorry.
No, definitely. And just to go a little bit highbrow just for a second, it's a very similar thing with science journals. You'll have some really mind-blowing paper published, but then all subsequent papers that find out that that's not true or go against whatever the conclusion was don't get the same publicity, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it's a common thing, definitely.
Yeah, because the story turns out the world hasn't been changed that much at all. Isn't nearly as exciting as world-changing discovery.
Yeah. Psychic abilities are real. Ah, oh, okay. All right, we'll have to, and then the three or four studies that replicate that in every detail, except are more controlled and report no discernible phenomena. Oh no, that's not really going to make it into the journal this month, I'm afraid. And also that nurse who all of a sudden there's not enough evidence against her, and so she's been dragged through the press, her name's been out there, her photo's been out there. All of a sudden now.
That's right, the media jumped on her just because she had a couple of cheeky photos up on Facebook and she seemed like a party girl, and they thought, great, we can judge her. Horrible.
Yeah. It's kind of like, and talking about judging people in news stories, that I think it was the Daily Mail. Me and Steve did this ages ago on the podcast. There was she was like a childminder or something, and she died with a dildo in her, basically watching porn. With obviously she wasn't on the
That's
job. It was,
tragic, I'm sure.
no. There's no ch she wasn't looking after children at the time. It was in her own home, doing it on her own time. But because the mere fact that she was a childminder, this made it newsworthy. Which what really? Obviously, but as mentioning it on the podcast, kind of, I don't know, makes it worse, does it? Really.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You can't just allude to it and hope everybody's getting it. And if you don't get it, look it up. No, because that gets more traffic to the story that you don't want to draw traffic
Yeah,
to.
but that's the
It,
kind
it's
of
very
stuff.
tricky.
Yeah, that's the kind of news. Sorry, I used the word news very lightly there. News reporting we want to not bother with anymore.
Well, actually, the whole subject of what you're allowed to report and what you should report. To do with court cases and such, kind of relates to a Catholic story that I've got. I've
Ooh.
got several this week. Oh yeah, this one was from the Catholic Herald. Endokenny should be embarrassed that his attack on the Vatican had so little basis in fact. His eye-catching allegation grabbed headlines around the world, yet he has still to provide any evidence for it. Toyshack, I looked around for the best pronunciation, and Toy Shack is the best way to say it. He said that the Holy See attempted to frustrate an inquiry in a sovereign democratic republic as little as 3 years ago. Yet it now seems that his most eye-catching allegation has little basis in fact. This should be deeply embarrassing for any statesman. Nor will the cause of child protection be served well by being so slipshod with the facts. The Toy Shack said on Tuesday that his central accusation still stands, saying this was a statutory commission of inquiry, and as such, nothing less than full cooperation is required, and anything less than full cooperation, in my view, is unwarranted interference. The Toy Shack has yet to provide any evidence that his most extraordinary accusation is true. Nice move, Catholic Herald, I thought. Demand that they produce recent evidence of a child abuse case in which there was explicit obstruction. Oh, what about the case of little Mary O'Something? She's still only 13 now, but her rapist got moved about 2 years ago. Is that enough evidence? What's he gonna say? That's ridiculous. Like, they expect him to bring out these incredibly sensitive documents and facts and display them to everybody.
Quote them at every opportunity. Yeah. Do they want him to, drag her out, the poor 13-year-old, and say, look at what you've done? Yeah, no, I've seen this. The Catholic Church have been whining again, playing the persecution card, and hiding behind words saying that they've cooperated. However, when called on this, they said, well, no, we meant we cooperated. I know we didn't cooperate fully, but we cooperated a bit. They're complete
And they
twats.
And they're saying, "No, well, you find a time when we didn't cooperate fully then." Ah, yeah. And what he said is, "Look, I'm not going to go looking for that. Basically, you had an institutionalized policy. You had rules in place to say, deal with it in-house and move the people. And that rule was apparently instituted by the current Pope back when he was a cardinal. And it hadn't been revoked until very, very recently." Mm-hmm. It hadn't been officially revoked. It was still a standing order.
And this is why perhaps he should be in prison.
Yes. Oh, that would be lovely. Why didn't they arrest him? Oh, we were banging on about that the other week.
I'm going to stick with religion. And why do I get the feeling this is going to be another religion special from the two of us? Oh, when the cat's away. Here we go. This is more of an interesting, fun one. Let's see where you go with this. Former partygoer ministers to Leeds nightclubbers. Pastor Beth Tash returns to her old haunts as pioneering minister to the nighttime economy. So this is the story that this was on the Guardian online, where a young lady has decided to go and evangelize to clubbers. So what are your thoughts on that in the first instance? I mean, if you were in a club, would you want to be evangelized, Trev?
Well, the idea of me in a club is ridiculous enough as it is. Never fancied them. But
not necessarily a club,
wherever.
A pub, yeah.
Well, I can't think of an occasion where I would welcome being evangelized or just bugged. Let's call it by its proper name.
Hmm. Do you not? Would you maybe not get? I'm looking at this saying, well, it depends on what kind of evangelizing is happening. I mean, if it's just literally handing out tracts or, you know, just basically screaming in your face. What if you could have a nice argument with her? That'd be great.
No, I think she's trying to take advantage of the chemically befuddled. She's going to watch, and whoever's popped an E, then she'll catch them. She'll hand out a free bottle of water and say, "Jesus loves you." And they'll say, "I love Jesus, man."
Sorry, I thought when you said she was going to catch the chemically imbalanced, I thought you meant she was going to don a white robe and some wings and pretend to float past them and fool them into having some kind of revelation.
Maybe. Well, she'd first of all ask, "What is that tablet?
Is that, it's paracetamol.
Is that a tab? Is it?" Yeah.
So
there's a letter on it. Don't know, it's an F. Don't worry about it, love.
So
that's what you should do.
I got a picture of her on the article. You know, she's not bad looking. You know, I mean, I just when I, you know, obviously when I was young and single, I couldn't think of anything worse than hitting on a woman for in an elevator for her to then turn around and then try and evangelize me.
In an elevator, you had to, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to go there.
That's the only place. Dear, oh dear. In this game of religious relay that we've got going on, I've got another religious story.
Really? What a coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then.
So, okay, I love this one. You may not love it so much, and it's a bit weird, but stick with me. New Yorkers wonder if the US heard spiritual wake-up call of 9/11. This is another one that my son found for me. Brilliant. New York City. When Robert Harding saw the World Trade Center collapse four blocks from his Manhattan loft on September 11, 2001, he felt God calling people of every nation, race, language, and religion to repentance. "When I saw the towers come down," he said, "I didn't think God is punishing me, but I did feel that it was a spiritual event. I literally felt the presence of a tremendous spiritual power." Got to take issue with his use of the word literally there.
Yeah.
I don't think you can literally feel the presence of a tremendous spiritual power. It was almost like a wake-up call to me. Look at what you're doing, humanity. Take stock of yourselves. This is where you are, so wake up. But many Americans who hope for a new era of national purpose and unity after 9/11 find themselves disappointed. Harding, an internationally exhibited artist and lifelong Catholic who grew up during the Second World War, now thinks America might have missed the worldwide wake-up call. "I never thought in my lifetime that I would hear people on television debating whether and what kind of torture we should be using. What's going on here? This is crazy. It's fear. Where there is fear, there cannot be faith. Yeah, thanks, Yoda. That sounds a bit nonsense. Harding's pastor, Father Kevin Madigan, noticed other positive but fleeting changes in the city during the fall of 2001, or autumn, as people who are wankers call it. In the weeks afterwards, I saw a great change in people. Just the average person on the street would be much more compassionate, much more caring. People seemed to be more tuned in to what were the important things in life. But I think one way of putting it is that the alarm went off and people hit the snooze button soon afterwards. They went back to sleep. We've been in a state of perpetual war for the past 10 years. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, now in Libya. And is it going to be someplace else? Maybe Yemen next? Brilliant. Thanks for that. It's a lovely little clue that he's handing out. As Christians, Father Madigan wonders, how do we begin to work towards the way of peace? Okay, now this story, where Robert Harding and his Father Madigan were banging on about stuff, leads into a book that's being put together. If humanity wants to build peace out of the ruins of September 11th, religion has to play a major role in the dialogue, said the Vatican spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, one of a number of speakers presenting a new book written by a Vatican radio journalist. The world's nations have united, including the more than 90 nationalities of people who lost their lives on that day, to stand together in a show of unity and defiance in confronting those who feed upon and want to spread fear. Nations and peoples have joined together to say never again. The 90-page book is published only in Italian.
Lovely.
Sorry. That's a read. That's a fantastic punchline. It sounded so sweet, all this stuff about faith being so important, and I felt like it was God just nudging me in the ribs and saying, all right, go on, be a bit nice. And then all these people are coming together saying how religion can be so helpful and wonderful, and we're all going to come together. We'll all be together. We'll unite as one. As long as you can read Italian.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I did French in school. I'm really upset now. I really wish I'd done Italian so I could read that. Is it never, ever... Can you not Babelfish it or something? You know, get a translation?
Oh, come on. When religious tracts are written in English, it's hard enough to understand them.
Okay. Good point. Right. I got a story now, if you're done with that one.
Great. Cool.
Gay men, blood donor ban to be lifted.
Hooray!
Because, listen to this, all of a sudden they realised that there's not a lot of evidence involved with the ban.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, can you believe it? What happened basically was there was the AIDS scare, and somebody calculated that the risk of gay men having it was astronomical, so therefore they shouldn't give blood. And that was back in the 80s, I think. But unfortunately, studies since then have shown that it's not as bad as people thought. And that if you're going to say, okay, you've been abroad to the tropics, where you're at high risk of contracting some disease, which can be passed on through blood transfusions, if that risk of that is higher than being gay, then maybe this complete ban on gay people giving blood is a bit excessive. And this is good on two levels, because one, first of all, it means we're going to get more blood into the system, because hopefully there's going to be gay people out there who want to give blood. But also, this ban has been used rhetorically by anti-gay people for years now, saying, you know, gay is wrong. Look at the UK. They don't even let gay people give blood. It's so diseased. And so even though people who were in the know, on the side of obviously evidence and, you know, the medical profession, knowing that it was all bollocks, you know, it was a pain in the ass to have to keep on telling people that basically the UK law was bollocks. So yeah. This is good news.
Well, there are lots of reasons that stop people from giving blood. Mm-hmm. And... Well, they're not all great reasons, but you can understand the reasoning behind them. And for this extra one to be thrown on for such a large section of the population is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's already limited by so much stuff. I mean, if you're on some medication at the time, there are all sorts of medications that stop you from giving blood.
Well, it's practically everything, isn't it? Mm. I mean, apart from maybe you've had headaches, you've taken some paracetamol, anything more than that, and they're not interested. I've never given blood. I'm quite squeamish. So I found out the other day, but that's another story for another podcast.
Do you squeam?
I'm quite manly, to be honest. Are you okay?
Sorry, tickling my throat then.
Okay, let me rephrase that. maybe this is going to be the funniest anecdote of the podcast. I've been having some bowel problems lately. I don't want to bore people with that and don't want to discuss them with it.
No.
If
people are still listening, if they're a long time listeners, this is the kind of stuff that they tune in for.
Exactly. This is what you're here for, because I'm about.
And this is why you listen live, ladies and gentlemen, because he's going to edit this out if it turns horrible.
It's not going to go that horrible, honestly. Doctor, and my medical history file, unlike Trev's, mine can, you know, you could fit it in between a Rizzler, whereas Trev's is in probably several volumes, is it not?
Yeah, massive hardback editions.
Yeah, you got the Encyclopedia Britannica knocking on your door saying, look, look, we got a new section. So I went to the doctor and I said, look, not a bit funny, if you look at my file, sorry, that one sheet of paper in that envelope there, you'll see that I don't really bother with doctors. Not that I'm scared of them or I've avoided them, but I've enjoyed very good health as a young person. But lately, I've not been feeling so good. So I gave her my symptoms, and I'm not going to go into them now. And she said, okay, fine. Well, you know, your symptoms could be quite a few things. So let's do some blood tests. So I was like, yeah, fine. And 2 years ago, to go on my honeymoon, I needed needles in me to go to Mexico. So I thought, you know, how hard can this be?
Sorry. I get... Every year I get inoculations, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're just a jab in the shoulder, feels a bit sore. But if you've got somebody who's a little bit amateurish, desperately trying to find a vein, just popping in and out again, then this one doesn't feel like it wants to give anything.
Okay, so I've got a little bit of sympathy off Trev. So this story's not going to be as bad as it goes. But so I went to give blood, and the missus came with me because I'd never given blood before. And you know, she wanted to just look after me. I was trying to be all, you know, give a bit of bravado. I was like, who cares? You know, I don't care. So I don't want to. I mean, you're alluding to some kind of level of professionalism for the phlebotomist. I didn't seem to have any problems with her. But she did go in and she questioned how much I'd had to eat because my arm didn't want to give up any blood. And if anyone knows me, you know, on a summer's day. I'll wear short sleeves and you can see my veins popping out from the skin like pretty much 24 hours a day. So maybe there's a bit of nerves, I don't know. So after trying to go in once, I felt a bit faint. Now, I don't know if you've had this before, Trev, but I didn't feel right. But I'm a man and I'm not going to, you know, I'm quite happy confiding in people saying that I'm not feeling comfortable or I'm not feeling well. So I said to them, I'm not feeling very well. I believe I may pass out shortly. And I did.
Ah, excellent. That's terrible.
Yeah. I passed out in the doctors and I was made to feel a complete twat for it. Not on purpose, but, you know, obviously my bravado just didn't pay off really. So I had to give blood from the other arm, laying down like a right sissy. And I was told that if I ever gave blood again, they'd put it in my notes that I'd have to lay down.
Oh no, you're a horizontal blood giver.
I'm a horizontal blood giver. So, you know, that's my story. And I can't even remember why. Oh, that was it. It was the gay blood thing.
Right, yeah.
We really went on a tangent with that one. That was my story.
Was your blood gay?
They checked it. Okay, right. So let's get to the crux of it. They got to my blood, okay, and... I have to go back in 2 weeks to give more blood because apparently there was signs of a viral infection, which could be anything, you know.
Sure. You shouldn't call it giving blood, though,
Well, sorry.
because you're not technically giving it to any bugger.
Well, I am. I'm giving it to those guys in the lab to work on. But no, sorry.
And,
Okay.
And they have a party when it arrives.
Hooray!
Hey. Well, no, they do, because they know that if they can just get those platelets out, it's probably 90% proof.
Right.
But that was going to be my joke. It was my liver test came back normal, so I got at least another 2 years of non-stop drinking.
Yay! You know,
yeah, it's going to be great. So no, I'm fine. And people are going to be more fine because there's going to be more blood going in because gay people are going to give more blood. In fact, if somebody said to me, "This blood here that you're about to take is off a gay bloke," I'd be like, "Put it in." For like at least 24 hours after, I will have a keener eye for decorations, and I'll love musicals. It's going to be great. Why would you not want that?
Okay.
You didn't like my stereotypical jokes. Okay, fine.
No, not so much. Very poor. Yeah, to be fair, I don't want to make it sound like I'm all rock hard and you can. The nurses can take blood really easy from me. I have to look away, but not generally because I have a problem with a needle going into me, obviously, but because I want to correct them. I just think, you're not going to do it like that, surely. Move with the vein, chase it up the arm, for God's sake.
What
you
is
people.
This? I look down at my arm, and as with you, I didn't want to look at the area of penetration. But they were going for they go for the neep of the elbow, don't they? The arm there. But I could see that if you look there wasn't much to look. However, if you just moved 3 inches down my arm, there was a vein popping out ready, and they completely ignored it because obviously they'd just been so used to going to that one place, they daren't go somewhere else.
They wanted to test themselves.
Yeah. Well, she pissed me off and she made me pass out, and I felt really bad about it. So next time I go, I'm going to have my missus with me, and she's going to hold my hand.
That's good.
Okay.
Hey, I've got a story to do about a significant birthday that happened over the last week in the Caerphilly area.
Really?
Kate Hobbs hit 104 on September the 3rd.
Oh, I love her.
She remembers seeing soldiers march off to the Great War. She has two great-grandchildren and four shit ones. No, sorry, four regular grandchildren as well. That's it. I just like that gag.
Oh,
somebody
right, okay.
Great grandchildren.
To put some of your comedy in,
but
okay,
but it's true. No, there really is a woman who just hit 104 in the Caerphilly area. Bless her.
Yeah, for people who didn't listen last week, Trevor is now 40. And I say that in the most deep and depressing way possible because I'm 9 years away from it, so I get to gloat over you for quite a while. Yes, we went to see Trevor's birthday party. It was lovely.
Yeah, it was cool. It decided to rain just about the time when I should have stopped drinking. Oh no, about 2 hours after I should have stopped drinking. Oh, did you read on my Facebook? I wrote that I drank so much that day that my mum got a hangover.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Just... That was quite good. And I just
I didn't
know. You should have
well,
held
I don't
off
tend
for
to get
an
them.
Hour because, I mean, you missed the strippers, dude.
Oh, got it.
So,
is that when I passed out? It was, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They came in and they said, "Where's the birthday boy?" You were out cold, so someone else had to volunteer.
It was Steve, wasn't it? It was Steve. That's where he is.
Well, to be honest, when Steve said, "I'm the birthday boy," one of the strippers turned round to your missus and said, "You're going to have to give me an extra tenner."
Oh, that's harsh.
Bazinga.
I can make you pay for that.
There you are, Steve. Great. That's what you get for not being on the podcast.
Okay, here's a cool story. Students protest with a kiss. Have you caught this one? More than 100 students have held a kiss-in in the Chilean capital, Santiago, protesting to demand educational reforms. They've occupied schools, they staged choreographed dances, and carried giant balls through the city to get their message across. I would suggest that the person who suggested this idea because they desperately wanted to snog a fellow protester has probably been carrying giant balls through the city for quite some time.
Yeah.
And apparently further large protests are planned. I bet they are. I'm sure the kiss on the tits protest is on the way, followed by the just the tip protest. I'm going to try that with the missus, I think. Come on, love, don't you want Tibet to be free?
Dear, wow. Dear. But I now know you. That was the end of your gag. That wasn't a real news story. You just wanted to talk about big balls, didn't you?
It was a real news story. All of these are real news stories. Real old lady in Caerphilly. Real kissing protesters in Santiago.
Yeah, but you didn't want to discuss them in any depth. You just wanted to be able to say, you know, you wanted to mention your birthday and then talk about big balls. Okay. I got a story from you now that may...
Alrighty.
May upset you or may aggravate you somewhat out of your happiness. You know, now you're 40, you're happy and carefree. The news that clergy have been told to take on the new atheists. The Church of England will this week vow to fight new atheism in an attempt to combat the rise of secularism and defend Christianity in Britain. How do you feel about that?
I think that's brilliant. When they turn up for the fight against the atheists and realise there's nobody there. Because atheists are just people who don't believe in any of your bullshit. Yeah, there's no uniting belief. We do tend to get together, but under other banners, usually.
Yeah. Now, this is from the Tory graph, so this might explain why. This is this first paragraph, and it's just pure WTF. Clergy are to be urged to be more vocal in countering the arguments put forward by a more hardline group of atheists such as Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, who have campaigned for a less tolerant attitude towards religion. Now,
what the f- Well predicted. Oh my god.
There you go. Apparently,
that's astonishing.
I haven't read all of their books, but in the ones that I've read, I've never seen anyone campaigning for less tolerance towards religion. Maybe less tolerance towards idiocy, but not towards religion in particular. So a report endorsed by Dr. Rowan Williams, the Dick of Canterbury, as I call him, faces a battle to prevent faith being seen as a social problem. Well, it is a social problem. I want to say that right now. It is a big social problem. And he says the next 5 years are set to be a period of exceptional challenge. Well, I hope so. I hope the pews get emptier. So, yeah, but straight away, in the first... this is the Tory graph. For them to paint Dawkins and Hitchens as people who don't want to be tolerant towards the religious, I don't think that's the case, is it?
That is mental. I don't know if weird proselytizers are finding that they get argued with a bit more, whereas normally people would walk on by. But if they just investigated a little bit at things like atheist organisations and skeptics in the pub that you and I go to, it's not that you're not let in if you're religious. Everyone's welcome. Anyone can come. It's just a place where trying to convert people isn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing a talk on it. Yeah.
Unless trying to convert people to be more sceptical and more rational and think about shit more is proselytising. I find that kind of a bit of a weird definition of proselytizing, but no, definitely.
Yeah, encouraging argument.
This was a very, very short story.
But basically,
the church feels very threatened. And, well, so they should, because they've been talking bollocks for a long time, and they suddenly realize that all it takes is a biologist and some guy from Vanity Fair to bring out a couple of books. And all of a sudden, everyone's thinking, yeah, it is bullshit. So, yeah, nice one. That's it. I mean, there's loads of quotes in that story, but I thought the first paragraph just said it all, so I won't continue too much with it.
Fair enough. Hey, what do you think about the letter in the Financial Times, the 20 top economists, who are basically whining about the 50p tax rate? They've called themselves these top economists, and they're saying that it'll definitely damage the economy, even though the figures for that are being put together to show the income from the 50p tax rate haven't even been collated yet. the data isn't even there. So why do you think these top economists might be saying that? I wonder. It's so childishly transparent.
Yeah, it's like, really? Is there any point reporting on it? Because even a 10-year-old, even Zach would be able to see through that one, surely.
Even Zach, he saw through it before I did.
Yeah, he had to say, he had to tug on your sleeve.
Yeah, he
and say,
pointed it out.
Dad, don't fall for it. It's a Tory thing. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, to be honest, because, well, as we've just said, it's fucking bullshit, and people need to be more skeptical about the news, and that is a prime story. So you've got a choice.
But I'd happily agree to lowering that to a 49p rate if every penny that they get returned is shoved up their arse.
Awesome. Or maybe,
because they probably take it.
Or maybe if reduce it to 49p if all the rich people actually paid tax instead of avoiding it by starting up companies and, you know, living abroad and, you know, spending X number of months here or there or whatever. Basically, they're moaning about something that hardly any of them pay anyway, because they've got accountants and it's all squirreled away. So it's completely ridiculous. Now, Trev, you've got a choice, okay? We have 13 minutes to go till the end of the podcast. Now, do you think, okay, we can do... Obviously, we're going to do Doris, aren't we?
Oh, I don't even know what she's been banging on about lately.
Okay.
Well, so the same old shit, probably. Yeah.
Well, it was the fallout from last week, but if you haven't seen it, then we can't do it.
Are we going to do Spot the Fake?
I've got a Spot the Fake. Now, I was going to save this, okay? But I think
we should save it.
We should, but I think if we don't do it, then people may get upset. So
we'll do a Spot the Fake then. If you see a dog dressed up like a human,
that's a
he's
fake
called
human.
Spot. No, okay, that's not going to work.
No, it's not.
That's ridiculous. No, I know the Horizon program the other night, which we both watched. And there's an awful lot of stuff about free will in there.
Okay,
are you
right.
Good
well, that'll
or evil?
Take us out. That'll take us out. Let's do Spot the Fake then. And then we'll finish on the Horizon program, because
great.
We can probably go on for that for ages. Okay, so it's all down to you. Okay, it's as I said, it's head to head. You and I. Can I pull the wool over your eyes this week? Now you've learnt a couple of tricks, and I'm hoping to have learnt a couple as well. So
that's true, because you put it together, and if you wait till next week, then that's another week for us to find the two stories that are.
Exactly.
Definitely
and,
true.
And, you know, they may be out of date or whatever, so, you know, let's just use it, okay? Story
Great.
Number one, Irish news. The woes of the church in Ireland continue, with news that the Abbey Church of St. John in Cologne, County Clare, has been embroiled in a scandal after it has emerged that two of the Augustine nuns have featured in several US-released adult movies. Sisters Mary Tavnock and Eugenie Callum earned several hundred dollars for each of their appearances, which funded their four-month mission in the States in 1996. The Irish Catholic Church refrained from making any statement while investigations continued. Story number two.
Brilliant. Hang on, what were their names again? Let's see if I can type that in the internet.
You can't. No. Go Googling stuff, that's not fair.
Afterwards...
Oh,
for
right.
A very different reason altogether.
Okay, I will give you the names afterwards, don't you worry.
Cheers.
Space news. Yeah. Domino's Pizza to open a restaurant on the moon. Construction from Maeda Corp estimates the Domino's project will cost around $13.4 billion, $4.5 billion of which will go towards transporting 70 tons of building material and the pizza-making equipment to outer space aboard 15 rockets. No construction date has yet been announced. In 2001, rival chain Pizza Hut delivered some grub to astronauts orbiting the Earth in the International Space Station. And story number three. China news. CCTV footage has given insight into some of the methods used by criminal gangs operating in Chinese cities. Pickpockets have been using chopsticks to remove valuable items from the pockets of victims.
Fake.
In order to reduce detection.
Fake.
Speculation on the reasoning behind the new method
fake
include
that's increased... That's the fakiest, fakey thing.
Let me finish the story. Speculation on the reasoning behind the new method include increased wearing of tight clothing or skinny jeans, avoidance of flu-tainted handkerchiefs, and concealing fingerprints. So, Trev, which story do you think is the fake one?
Ah, oh, you total motherfaker. It's that last one. It's got to be. Surely.
You sound very sure. I mean, for you to call me out in the middle of the story. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
So you Come find on. It hard to believe that some Chinese guys would be pickpocketing people with chopsticks?
I don't know. I've just got the idea that you coming up with that and then thinking it's a good idea it is too perfect. If I were to go for anything else, I would never forgive myself if this one turned out to be the fake. So I have to.
Okay, final answer. The China. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept it. Right. I'll start with this one. Space news, Domino's Pizza to open a restaurant on the moon. Had you heard about this?
I had not heard, but it sounds too ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't have made that one up.
It's actually true. It is true. It is actually true. That they have the plans, they're ready to go, and they have actually got in this construction firm, Maeda Corp, who've given them a price of $13.4 billion. Obviously, they just haven't set a date. If you read the news story, they're talking about how they know that people will be living on the moon soon, and they'll definitely need pizza.
Yeah, well, with all the oxygen they've got up there.
So, yeah. Huh? Yeah, the first thing you want to do is fire up an oven when you've got a shortage of oxygen. Unless they're going to be microwave pizzas, I don't know. So that leaves two stories. Okay, I'm going to go for... Right, let's go with the China news. CCTV footage. Okay. Now you think pickpocketing with chopsticks is a little far-fetched.
Yeah. No, I think it's slightly racist. and just the kind of... an intentional misstep that I would find hysterical.
Well, you're going to be gutted because this is a true story.
Oh, nightmare.
And in fact, the pictures were available in The Guardian this week. I'm surprised you didn't see them. They were actually featured on the homepage for a short while. And I took a risk on it, thinking you were probably drunk somewhere. So that means I made up the... You...
I made that's up incredible. The... you saw that and you thought... Now, this sounds like the kind of thing I say in the last 5 minutes of the podcast.
No.
So I've got to use that as the true one.
The last 5 minutes of the podcast, I surely would talk about how I want to see two nuns in a porn film. Now, come on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There you go.
That means you made up those two names, so there's no point getting them from you.
Yeah, I did. I did enough research. The Abbey was real, and the nuns that live there are real, and you know everything about it was real, apart from the fact that those two sisters engaged in adult entertainment. So I'm sorry, Trev. I'm not gonna claim a point for it because obviously Steve's not here, but it just goes to
that's
show.
That's very magnanimous of you. I think that the next time that your missus comes in the room and finds you. Researching a saucy film with nuns in, you don't have to necessarily make it the next made-up story for Spot the Fake.
For plausible deniability, of course.
Oh, I mean, if another porn film story comes on, then I'll know what's happened in the Shea Stabler.
There you go. So, yet again, it seems I am the king of making shit up that sounds ridiculous, but not too ridiculous.
Good grief.
You were so sure about that Chinese story, though. I mean, I was reading it out, and you instantly thought, really? No. John must be talking out of his ass, but I'm afraid.
Astonishing.
That's the beauty. So, we've got 5 minutes left.
Real.
Do you have
Horizon.
Something? Right.
Yeah, the okay. Horizon story. A thing last night talking about psychopaths,
yes,
and the genetics of it.
And you saw Hare was on there, who John Runson had spoken about at Skeptics in the Pub. And it was basically, are you evil? Are you good or evil? Was the question being put forward in the program? Now, I'm not a massive fan of Horizon. I watch it because I like righteous indignation, basically. I like to be able to think that is the biggest load of bollocks I've ever seen on a science program ever. That's the only reason I watch it.
Right.
And so go on then, give your opinion then, because you're obviously keen to talk about it.
Well, as in common with most editions of Horizon these days, it was a brilliant 15-minute program that was unfortunately stretched out to an hour. And
True.
there are some fairly fascinating things. One of the most amazing was the thing with the babies, where they wanted to check if babies are inherently good or evil. And I would say evil. You know, if you see what kids are like when they first start getting together, it's just the jungle. The babies are red in tooth and claw, man.
Yeah, but you
They're
could, yeah,
harsh.
but the thing is, your theory about babies makes just as much sense about theirs, because babies, and they were saying that babies knew how to spot a good character or a good puppet over a bad puppet, yeah?
Yeah.
So, but a psychopath would be able to spot good people over bad people or generous people, so they could take advantage of them. So
That's a good
therefore,
point. It
your
wasn't that they
theory.
felt identified with it, but they thought it was a soft touch.
Exactly. So your theory that all babies are psychopaths, I think that's a big bit of evidence in your favor.
Right. But yeah, they did a decent randomized trial where they showed footage of three toys, one of which had a ball, and then the ones either side, one of them was good to play with, and the other one stole the ball and ran away. And 70% of the babies chose to play with the toy that behaved well. And the guy said, when it comes to babies, you can't ask them why they chose the stuff. So you can make a fairly large margin of that could just be noise. We can't say much definitively about it. But 70% is still pretty significant, and it keeps repeating to that sort of level. But yeah, that psychologist, Rob Hare, was the guy who was saying that there are a couple of genetic markers that keep on showing up with psychopaths and those who behave with no empathy and can do the most appalling things to other people. And that was the name of the guy that he tested his own family, didn't he? Because he heard about an aunt that had murdered her own parents.
Yeah.
So he asked for blood tests throughout his entire family and then checked them all, and one of them did show up with all the markers, and it was him. And he couldn't remember murdering anybody, and
This is true.
he's fairly sure he didn't. But he can't remember really having empathy with anyone. He can still love people and behave in emotional ways and be a fully rounded person. But what he can't do is identify with people and feel sympathy. And that, as well as that, he's saying what you need is to have these markers and have a rotten childhood and be subjected to abuse. And what happens then is you don't have empathy stopping you from doing this dreadful behavior that you then are repeating. And so basically all he said is psychopaths are a mixture of nature and nurture. Well, just like every other bugger. So
Exactly.
it wasn't a great conclusion to the hour, was it?
No, see,
And for some
I was
reason
kind
he
of left thinking, well, yeah, everything's a combination of everything, so nothing's conclusive. So they didn't really leave me feeling that I'd learnt anything.
Yeah. Apart from there is a phrase, behavioral genomics, and it's such a worrying sounding phrase because it makes it sound like you can do a test and that'll tell you how somebody will behave. No, of course it won't. You see how
Yeah.
people behave by putting them in situations and recording it.
Yeah, and I think using words like the warrior gene put you on the same kind of level as using terms like the God particle, really.
Yeah. It's a step too far, isn't it?
Yeah. So as I said, I thought it wasn't very strong on its terms. I mean, it mentioned the word will and free choice and things a lot, and I know we don't see eye to eye, but
No.
PZ agrees with me, so it doesn't really
He
matter.
does, but that's probably because of his being a biologist. Did you see, we wouldn't have seen it probably, but listen to The Atheist Experience. Or maybe it was the other one, the non-profit that they did. Matt Dillahunty was saying to somebody about him being not a philosophical materialist, but being a practical materialist. And I think I agree with him on that. I'm a practical materialist, just given that we haven't invented anything yet that can measure free will or personality or anything that isn't physical. We've only got physical measuring tools. And that's pretty much the only reason I'll go with you for most of what you say.
No,
but
I've
got experience of free will and a person because I can experience mine.
Yeah, no, but no, but this was the point was what you Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
I know
but
we can't. It's the end of the podcast.
I listened to the very same episode, and it was the non-profits. It was an email exchange he was talking about. Believe it or not.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he makes a distinction between philosophical naturalism. And it wasn't skepticism, it was philosophical naturalism and methodological naturalism. And I agree with him in that I am the same as him. Naturalism is, you know, if it's as he describes it, that naturalism is the belief that only nature exists, then I think that's a claim, that's a metaphysical claim that you can't make. You know, it'd be like saying there is a God who exists that's completely intangible, and you can't discover him through any means, but he does exist. It's a very similar claim on the same level. So yeah, I can't claim the same as him. And I think you said it in a podcast not too long ago. You said, I don't rule out the supernatural, I just want evidence for it. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think Matt Dillahunty does as well. I'm not going to rule anything out, but the only way we can determine whether something's real or not is through evidence and experience. So there you go.
Plus, I'd love to see him take on that that Big Brother style house of religions.
That would
be great.
So cool. That would be so cool if Dillahunty done that. I like him.
Brilliant.
The thing is, though, The Atheist Experience is a really good show. I don't know how often you listen to it. There's some really good hosts on there, and I'd put a big shout out to both Tracy Harris and Russell Glasser. And also Martin Wagner. In fact, all of them, they're awesome. And I think that...
I was thinking, if you carry on, what you're going to end up doing is leaving one person out.
No, and Jen Peebles as well. Insult. They're all awesome in their own way, to be fair. And Jeff D is a fucking hero, to be honest. He is a hero. I love him. And I'm one of those people that just wishes people are going to phone up and tell him he's going to hell, because it's going to be freaking awesome from there on in. But
if the listeners don't understand what we're on about, then just look up The Atheist Experience, add it to iTunes or whatever your provider is. It's about 9:05. So John? No. You're done.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep it quick. Check out The Atheist Experience on YouTube. It is really good, and they kind of summarize all of the great programs. I need to go and watch
I'm so
Torch.
Chuffed I got to say that.
Oh, you're going to piss me off now. I'm going to have to, get you back. No. I'm going to cut you off right now. I'm going to hang up on your ass.
Cool.
Okay. We're going to continue this next week, I think. We'll we didn't cover this enough, so I'll make a note, and maybe we'll do this next week, and I'll get Steve to watch the program, and we'll do it properly, yeah?
Yeah. Plus, he's got experience of his own psychopathy to just bring to the table. So that's all good.
Yeah. Excellent. So we're going to call it a night. Thanks very much for listening, people. So good night to all of our live listeners. Good night wherever you are. And good night to all of the hosts of The Atheist Experience.
And even all the ones he missed. They're all still good as well.
No, I named... Oh, Don. Don. Don's cool as well. I like Don. There you are. I've named them all now. You're all cool. But I must admit, my faves are Tracy Harris and Jeff D. So I'll just put that out there. Right. Let's go to bed. No.
You see in the last 5 minutes every time.
Yeah, it's like me and Trevor, like Bert and Ernie. You know, I mean, I'm in the bath and he comes
Bert,
in and
can I have a glass of water, Bert?
He scrubs my back and then says,
"Rubber ducky, you're so wet." I won't. I'm not gonna.
You've just proven that you've watched more Sesame Street than me, but
I love Sesame Street. Rubber ducky is a classic song.
I'm still getting my head around in the night garden. Okay, let's go watch Torchwood.
Night, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll catch the rest of you next week. Good night.
Good night.